Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What up? It's the Crossover Pod Friday edition. I'm Howard Beck, senior writer for Sports Illustrated. Fantastic show for you today. Not one, but two Hall of Famers. Karl Malone, one of the greatest power forwards in basketball history, and Allen Iverson, who is simply one of the most electric players and personalities of all time. Both of them kind enough to spend a little time with me while attending All-Star festivities last weekend in Salt Lake City. Malone was making his first NBA-related appearance of really any kind in nearly two decades. Karl had kind of distanced himself from the game, from former teammates, from pretty much everyone for quite a while. But with the game in Utah, where he spent the bulk of his career, Karl decided it was time to reconnect. And it was a really emotional homecoming for him on a lot of levels, as you'll hear in our chat. Iverson has been more visible than Malone in recent years, but he too is making sort of a renewed effort to stay connected to the game and the league. Both of them, I thought, were just really candid, very heartfelt during our conversations. The interviews are a little shorter than we usually have on the pod. These guys had a lot going on, and of course, I wanted to be respectful of their time. Grateful they sat down for a bit, given all the other demands. Before we get to that, a quick note. This is my last episode hosting the Friday Crossover. I am moving on from SI. Chris Mannix and I will record our last pod together on Monday, so please stay tuned for that. Just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for tuning in the last couple of years, for all your support and feedback along the way, and I promise you will be hearing from me again soon, sometime in the near future. For any updates on what's next, please follow me on Twitter at Howard Beck or on Instagram at Howard A. Beck for any updates on what's next. Okay, my conversation with Karl Malone, followed by my chat with Allen Iverson, is coming up next, so stick around.
This is The Crossover, an NBA show hosted by Sports Illustrated's Chris Mannix and Howard Beck.
It's a whole new level for you and me, Chris, this relationship.
Like and subscribe for the best weekly NBA content these two are capable of.
What does that mean?
Could be the best duo ever.
I don't see how you can beat that.
Here they are, Chris Mannix and Howard Beck.
Now, very pleased to be joined by Karl Malone, somebody I have not seen in a very long time. And Karl, it seems very natural to see you here, of course. Jazz legend, there's a street outside named after you, a statue here. But at the same time, I have not seen you at an All-Star weekend or anything else NBA-related in a very long time. Why did you want to be here this weekend in particular, aside from obviously that it's in Salt Lake?
Well, it's been 30 years. And this is where it really is all started from. And I'll be 60 in July. And they say that you reflect. So reflecting, things happened during the lockout year that, you know, when I went to the meeting that my pride got in the way. Mm. And then I miss my brothers. These are my brothers, and I miss them. But it's just amazing to be back because whether I go to another one, it's been 30 years. It's been co-MVP with John Stockton, Miss Coach Sloan, Miss Larry Miller, you know. So it's just reflective, bro. It's yeah. just one of them things that the older you get, they said it. And when you're young, you don't think about it. So yeah. it's pretty neat.
I know the bonds in this league can be very strong, and you've just kind of alluded to it in a very emotional way, too. Have you missed that? I mean, I know, look, you're a very private person. You've been out, I think, out on your ranch doing whatever that is. But have you missed those connections this whole time?
Absolutely. Seemed like I wasted 20 years. Mm. You know, we let our pride get the best of us sometime. And it's amazing because words do two things. It's no middle. They either uplift or tear down.
Yeah.
And we allow things to bother us. And my pride kept me away from the game. And I'm happy to be here because I miss my brothers. And when I say a brotherhood, it ain't black or white. It's just our brothers. And I miss it. So I just felt the need that I needed to be here for this one. And whether I come to another one, that's fine. But I'm yeah. home, and the Millers gave me my start. And it's been an awesome run. To the point, bro, that after all this time, and I'm almost 60 years old, I think my mom going to walk in and shake me and say, boy, get ready for school.
Hmm.
It just seemed like a blur. I played almost 20 years, but it's a heck of a ride, and playing with the best point guard to ever play the game.
Yeah.
It's just been an amazing ride, bro.
I don't want to pry too much, but when you say you let pride get in the way, can you give me a little bit of an understanding of what the pride was that was keeping you from reconnecting?
You know, just things saying during the lockout, you know, during the meet, one of the first meetings I went to. And
back in 98.
Yes, sir. And it's just, you know, growing up and things to say it,
yeah.
it took me a while. Everybody healed different. It took me this long to just get over and say it that, you yeah. know, it's over with. But I'm a very prideful person, and I tell people all the time that, but I respect.
Yeah.
I respect hard. Yeah, I'm loyal hard. And when a person show the respect and we don't feel you get it, you know, it do bother you. So
yeah. The last time we saw each other was also an emotional night for you. And I think I remember seeing some tears that night. It was in 2004 in Auburn Hills when the Pistons beat the Lakers. My last year on the beat before moving to New York, your last year in the league. What do you remember about that night and the emotions of that night? Because you were, for the first time in your – or not the first time in your career, but what turned out to be the last time in your career, this close to potentially winning that elusive ring. What did that night do to you emotionally, and just how did you process it? How do you think back on it now?
Well, obviously – What allowed me to get through that was I lost my mom that same year, suddenly. So you got to compartmentalize and put people, place things in their proper places. Nobody in the world, not even my family, but I and the man above knew that was my last game.
Yeah.
So I knew it. And to be able to just kind of take a moment and you give the Pistons credit, they played their butts off. And they won, but I just knew it was over with. So you know that cowboy, he started off on that ride,
yeah.
but then that ride got to come to an end, and I knew that was the end. And what a hell of a ride, you know, from a little kid that at times only his mom believed in him. When I had dreamed to be a fighter pilot, to fly the Harrier jet in the Marines, she told me I could, and a lot of people told me I couldn't. And to go out and try to conduct yourself. And she also said, a lot of noise out here, son. Mm. And you go out there and you get you a big old bite of this world and you let success be your noise. Mm. And I've always remembered that, and it's been great.
I have said this to people over the years many times, so I'm not just saying this to you in front of me. I've said this to Chauncey Billups, by the way. No disrespect to his Pistons team, but if you had stayed healthy, I still think that was the linchpin. You were the linchpin on that team. You were the one keeping Shaq and Kobe from beating the hell out of each other. You were, I felt like, the kind of a balance there. And it felt like to me, like when you got hurt again, like that was kind of it. Did you have those kind of feelings that year? Like this was, if not for maybe, you know, one freak accident in an early season game against the Suns, like it's a different season.
Well, we can't ever do that.
Yeah.
Because you drive yourself crazy. You know what I would say is the game, my body, my mind never failed me.
Yeah.
It was that time. You could say one thing to young people is father time is the biggest thief of them all. Mm. And we all going to be done with our time on this earth, bro. But
yeah. The
ride was amazing. I was this little black cowboy from North Louisiana on my old trusted mare. And we rode, baby. It was fun.
You accomplished obviously a hell of a lot, an incredible career. When you started that year with the Lakers 03-04, you were in that position where it was like, you know, Karl Malone, durable as hell, still productive. You were the one that we thought might someday threaten that scoring record that we just saw broken by LeBron. Was that anything you ever wanted, and what do you think about LeBron getting it now?
No, sir. I never played the game for that. But I say this to you. With LeBron, I don't think it'll ever be broken. And what he's doing at this continue right now is truly amazing. So I'm looking forward to telling him congrats and giving him a big old hug and just tell him keep riding it, brother, for as long as you want to ride. Because when it's over with, that old basketball get thrown up and it bounce high and it bounce a little lower, and then it rolls and then it come to a stop wherever that may be.
Yeah.
That's the career.
Yeah. We got folks hovering. I know there's a lot of other people who want to get a chance to chat with you, so I need to let you go, even though you said you would sit here. We could probably do this for 3 hours. I would love that, but I'm going to let you make the rounds here. Carl, great seeing you again.
Thank you.
Thank you for spending the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, and I want to say this. As athletes, we know what's written about us, and we know what's said about it. We know when it's cruel. I'm only doing interviews because of the respect.
Appreciate that.
You never created the news. You just reported it. Thank you. Much respect.
I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Respect. Thank you. Now, really pleased to be joined by The Answer, Allen Iverson. I don't think I've ever actually been able to make that intro before. How are you, Answer? Does anybody actually call you Answer, or do they just say AI?
One of my friends.
One
of my friends. Been my guy for like maybe 15 years now, and you know, the rest of my friends tease him about it, but you know, that's just his thing. He heard a guy call me that before, and he's been calling me that ever since, and they tease him, give him a hard time about it, but he don't care nothing about it.
It's like certain nicknames are great, but it's not. It feels weird to call the person that, right? Like
right.
You see Cromwell, you don't say hi, mailman. It's just
right,
it's
right.
Awkward. We're back here at All Star Weekend. I was talking to Candace Parker a couple weeks ago about the fact that she was going to call the game for the first time, and the first thing she said about when I asked her about what the honor of that is, what it meant to be able to call the game, she immediately talked about 2001 All Star Game when you were MVP. And her vivid memories of that as she was like a 14-year-old kid and how that just lit her up. Like, that was her first memory that she went to. You probably get that a lot, I'm sure. Is that one that, in your own mind, is when you think about all the All-Star games and all those moments, does that one always stand out for you too?
Definitely. You know, because it had a lot of significance when it came to me and my coach's relationship. So that one meant a lot. We had just acquired Dikembe in the trade, so it definitely meant a lot, you know what I mean? And then when it come down to the actual game, you know, us being down so much and then being able to come back and win it, you know what I mean, have those bragging rights this many years later, it was awesome.
Yeah. And then when you come to an All-Star weekend now, like I know you've been, you know, you've made the rounds with the NBA over the last several years. You've stayed connected. What is a weekend like this like for you in terms of whether it's reconnecting with guys or just kind of being back in this kind of broader NBA community? What is it for you?
Just knowing that I'm satisfied with the decision that I made to retire, but then to be back and be amongst the greats still, the atmosphere, the love of the fans, the way that they treat us and embrace us, just to know that just because, you know, I don't play anymore, you know, they still treat me the same way. It's awesome. And then just being the old head in the situation and to be able to come back and the young guys get a thrill out of seeing me. I just think it's cool, man, and it's something that I'll keep doing and I'll cherish and love for the rest of my life.
When you come to an event like this, Alan, is it the older guys, even the generation before you or your own peers, or is it like the young guys? Like, who are you most interested like actually getting to see?
I like the response that I get from the guys before me. You know what I mean? I love that feeling of them embracing me and honoring me and respecting me for what I did for the game. And then, you know, just the young guys feeling the way they feel about me is the icing on the cake. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just them talking about how I inspired them and how, you know, I made them, you know, want to be in the predicament that they're in right now.
I first started covering the league in 97. I was covering the Lakers. And during that period of time, right, like you were a polarizing figure. Did you ever think at this moment, all these years later, like you'd be looked at like the
Never.
Role model?
Never.
Like the guys are looking Never. Up to you, trying to emulate you fashion wise, playing wise?
Never. Never. And it's honestly a blessing, you know, to know that, you know, I put in the work that I put in and, you know, I played every game like it was my last, and for it to amount to something means a lot to me.
I was reading the GQ story that you did recently, seeing, I'd forgotten about the lifetime deal with Reebok. I didn't realize that the black and white Reebok Answer 4s are now called the Stepovers. I'm wondering, like, how's Ty Lue feel about that?
I don't know. You know what I mean? I always have a bittersweet feeling about that because I love him so much as a man, you know what I mean, as a person, and as a friend. I guess that was just a casualty of war type of situation. You know, it's the same thing with Mike. You know what I mean? Mike is my idol, and I love him. And I always really wanted to be like Mike, and I still do. But it was just, you know, what it is. And I think they understand it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they know what it is. It's just, you know, the game and how it goes. But, you know, Ty Lue is my man, and I love him to death.
Ty told me years ago that actually he was grateful for that moment because he felt like that kind of this indelible moment kind of put him on the map. He's like, actually, he goes, he said you were good friends, and he had thanked you for it at some point, or maybe, I don't know, expressed gratitude. Like it did something for him, and like, you know, he got that next contract, I think, with Washington and whatever.
So yes.
He feels like that was actually, like, in a weird way, kind of a boost for him.
Yes.
So again, like I was covering the Lakers back then when you guys faced off in the finals, everything else, and I recall there was a fierce on-court rivalry between you and Kobe, and you were often pitted against each other too by, you know, people in my business. What was the actual relationship like between you guys? Was it like friendly rivalry? Was it like, did you guys maybe not connect until after you'd retired? Like how did that go?
The relationship as far as a friendship, I think that accumulated afterwards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We became friends afterwards. I think during, it was so competitive, you know what I mean? And me and that guy, we were so competitive, and we were at the top of our games. We were the face of the NBA. So at that time, you know what I mean, I think we didn't even have any room for any type of friendship. You know what I mean? But in the aftermath of all that, we became friends. And the love and respect was always there. It was mutual between him and I. And until, you know, that day, I could say, you know, that we were friends.
Yeah. Quick note from the GQ story. There was some great stuff in there. But it says, that, talking about you, your story hasn't always been rosy. And it's no wonder that he shied away from the press in recent years talking about you. It says, but as he leaned against the table, cradling his cue, Allen Iverson seemed almost relieved to be talking, like he'd been waiting for us to catch up to him. Do you feel like, and I know they mentioned too, you're working on an autobiography, you got a restaurant in Virginia coming. Is this a moment in your life, you know, 13 years removed from when you retired and this stage closing in on 50? It's not that bad. I'm on the other side. It's not that bad. Is this a moment where you're kind of reflecting more and feeling like you kind of want to share some of this stuff and, you know, writing an autobiography?
I think with me, Peter. I think.
Sorry. All good. All good, Pete. Always make time for another legend.
How you doing, man?
Good, man.
Good to see you. You too. I think he threw me off, man. I love Peter Vesey.
That's right.
That's my guy. I just think I'm an open book. You know what I mean? I think so many people can learn from me, from my trials, tribulations, my ups and my downs, and my life. And I'm not afraid of expressing where I went wrong, the things that I did right. You know what I mean? And all the above. And, you know, I feel like the things that I do as far as my autobiography, interviews, anything that I do, I feel like if I can help one person, you know what I mean, whether it be a kid or somebody middle age or older, you know what I mean, it's a great thing that if they can learn from me and not make the mistake that I made or, you know, capitalize off the things that I did right, I think it's a beautiful thing. So, you know, I'm looking forward to all of those things that I can do in my life, and I'm outgoing. I'm so me, you know what I mean. I'm so in love with the guy that God made. You know what I mean. If I died today, and I got a chance to come back tomorrow, I would rather be me. So, I'm cool with it.
When you talk about some of those mistakes or regrets, anything in particular that stands out? The kind of thing that you think guys can learn from?
Basketball wise. What's up, AC? Basketball wise, I think the only thing that I probably regret is probably not embracing the constructive criticism from Coach Brown. That's probably it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The man did wonders in my career. He did so much for me. Like, once I bought in to what he was selling, you know, that took me from just a talent, a great talent, to, you know, all of the accolades that I was, you know, able to accomplish in my career. You know, without him, I would not be able to do none of the things that I've done.
It was a bumpy last few years for you before you retired. Any regrets about the way those years went as you're going to, you know, Denver, Detroit, Memphis?
I wouldn't say that because I stood firm on what I believed in.
Yeah.
You know, as far as my talent and who I was, you know, I always, you know, felt like if, you know, you put a person in front of me and they were better than me, regardless if I was the rookie Allen Iverson all the way through my whole career. If the guy that's in front of me is better than me, then that's the guy that you put in front of me.
Yeah.
If not, then I would have a problem with it, and I still feel that way today.
Yeah. So no regrets throughout that where people talking about, oh, you know, he should have just been a sixth man. He should have been, like, that stuff.
No, because I didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I could easily say that. If I felt that the person in front of me was better than me at that time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, nah. You know what I mean? I never submit to that one.
the NBA, over the course of a weekend like this, they always have what they call the tech summit, right? They're trotting out all these fancy things. You can put on the VR headsets and be whatever. I was thinking, like, if you could, like, be transported back to, like, one moment in your career, like, happiest one or the most successful one, the best, like, what, like, what's the memory? Like, if you could just go, like, relive a game, a shot, what would it be?
Wow, that's a great question. I don't know, there's so many.
It's right. I might have gotten too creative with that question, but it's
awesome. Awesome question. And it's not one that you could just answer off top. That'll take a
lot of career highlights, so it'd be a lot to choose from, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, it's some things that I could have I would think in my mind I would think so many things that I could have did better. Yeah. You know what I mean? Opposed to making, you know, a great situation for me, you know, making it even more awesome. But, you know, I would think of something that I could have probably did better in a game.
Yeah.
Or even a decision making process. I think the thing that I probably would change the most was probably agreeing to the trade to Detroit. You know what I mean? Because I thought that was the greatest opportunity for me to win a championship. You know what I mean? But I thought the circumstances would have been a lot better. You know what I mean? Because it would have been a, you know, if I was traded for, if I was traded for Rip Hamilton opposed to
Chauncey,
yeah. I think, you know, our opportunity would have been a lot better, and then we wouldn't have been, we wouldn't have went through the hoopla of all the stuff that we went through.
Yeah.
When we went to Detroit, you know, I felt like if the trade was for Rip, it would have been a lot better for myself, and it would have been a lot better for Rip. But shout out to Rip. I love Rip. I love his family.
Last thing before I let you go, I know you got some other stuff to do here. When you're watching today's game, either favorite player to watch or the guy who most reminds you of you, somebody who kind of embodies what you did?
Everybody, obviously everybody gonna talk about Ja.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's a great compliment to myself. And I love him to death. I love who he is, you know, on the basketball court and off the court. But honestly speaking, I can see from the point guard to the fireman, I can see a lot of myself and a lot of guys. You know what I mean? I can see it, you know, just like people can see it or could see it in me, because I took a lot from everybody, and I implemented everybody's game into my game to try to create the Allen Iverson game. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I took from not just guards, you know, guys from every position. So I can see a lot of me and a lot of these guys.
Yeah. Allen Iverson, appreciate it, man. Good to see you. Thanks for spending the time.
All right, thank you.
Take care. Okay, that's it for today's show. My thanks again to Karl Malone and Allen Iverson. Huge thank you to Julio Manteiga, the PR ace for the National Basketball Retired Players Association, for making it all happen. Thanks, as always, to our producer, Shelby Royston, and thank you all for listening. Last episode of Me and Chris Mannix is coming Monday. Don't miss it. And if you'd like to stay in touch, please follow me on Twitter at Howard Beck or on Instagram at Howard A. Beck.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.